Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening with the Highland Radio News at 5.30. I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at today's headlines. It's emerged that the N56 four-lane road project costs a total of €16 million, 47% more than the pre-construction budget. Water usage in Donegal will be restricted by the weekend, with a nationwide hosepipe ban being implemented from Friday. The finance minister says there won't be a separate cost of living package in this year's budget, and a young Donegal boy living with Duchenne muscular dystrophy has been approved for a treatment that could slow the progression of the condition. All these stories in full and more coming up, and we'll have an update of all the sport with Mark Gallagher at around a quarter to six. But first, it's emerged that the N56 four-lane road project cost a total of €16 million, 47% more than the pre-construction scheme budget of just under €11 million. The figures have been given to Councillor Kieran Brogan in response to a question posed to Donegal County Council. Engineers have confirmed that Transport Infrastructure Ireland have funded the scheme in its entirety. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Engineers say the pre-construction scheme budget for the project was determined at €10.9 million. The scheme suffered delays, and the reply to Councillor Brogan says there are a number of reasons for the delays in completion and additional costs. Engineering and environmental difficulties were encountered in respect of exceptional ground conditions and the special area of conservation status of the River Swilly. Both COVID-19 and the war in Ukraine affected contractor resources, operations and suppliers during the contract, with the war affecting supply chains, particularly in respect of steel. Allied to that, there was exceptional global inflation, which affected all materials and costs, particularly bitumen and other oil-based materials central to roadworks. Engineers say all remaining construction snags and defects were closed earlier this year, enabling the final report to be completed.
Water usage in Donegal will be restricted by the weekend, with a nationwide hosepipe ban being implemented from Friday. Uisce Éireann is extending a water conservation order nationwide because of continued pressure on supplies caused by the ongoing dry spell. The ban on using hoses for watering gardens, washing cars or filling paddling pools will last until August 26th at least. Brian O'Leary from Uisce Éireann says it's necessary to protect all supply.
It's an appeal to all customers just to be mindful of their water usage, and by taking measures such as, you know, turning off the taps when brushing teeth, taking shorter showers, putting away the hose and using a watering can. You know, these are all examples of small changes that if we all make them collectively, we can make a significant difference.
Paul Davis is a lecturer of public procurement at DCU. He says leaks in the system are causing significant problems.
We know we've had heavy rain over the spring, but we've got leaks in the system and no way of storing of the water that we've built up. This is something that we've known. I think it was... We've a network of about 65,000 kilometres of pipe, and the average age is 75 to 95 years, more than double the EU average. It's not something that's just popped out of nowhere. We've known this for a long time.
The finance minister says there won't be a separate cost of living package in this year's budget. Simon Harris says they're moving away from the structure of previous budgets, and instead the cost of living will be addressed through measures like tax cuts. The government's summer economic statement shows it has €1.5 billion available for tax measures next year. Simon Harris says the cost of living will be addressed through once-off measures this time.
People up and down this country work hard, they pay their bills, and they rightly expect that the tax they pay is put to good use. But I think they also expect that when circumstances allow, the government should endeavour to reduce that burden. And the overall tax package in terms of space that we're announcing today will allow us to do that. And I also believe we can do that in a way that doesn't narrow the tax base in this country too. We've got to move beyond this idea of a kind of cost of living package over here and a budget over here. This is a government that wants to make progress on cost of living. This is a government that wants to make progress on people's living standards. This is a government that wants to make sure work pays and that you can keep more of your own disposable income. So through our programme for government, there's a number of measures that over the course of the four budgets that we have left that we can make sustainable progress on.
Minister Jack Chambers says he expects the majority to go towards income tax cuts for middle earners.
For workers across the economy who mightn't get the benefits in our social protection system and have had rising incomes and higher tax implications as a result of that. That's why we're clear that an income tax package is a big consideration for government. We've heard that from people, but also it's an important signal to workers in our economy on rewarding work, supporting their hard efforts.
A young Donegal boy living with Duchenne muscular dystrophy has been approved for a treatment that could slow the progression of the condition. Aaron Langan from Lahey and his family have been at the centre of a campaign to have the drug Givinostat approved for people living with the rare genetic disorder, which causes muscles to weaken over time. The orphan drug was recommended for approval by an Oireachtas committee on June the 11th, but it remained unclear whether Aaron would be able to access it. His father Dermot spoke on this morning's Greg Hughes show about the moment they received the news.
That was the toughest part of it, you know, knowing it was there then and, you know, having to go through a few tests to make sure that it would be available to him, that he would meet the criteria. But I suppose we'd done a few tests there in Dublin over a week ago and thankfully to say that he's eligible now to get it. And we actually have it here in the house now this morning. So it's been a great day and, you know, taking a while to get there, but thank God we're here now, you know.
What was it like when you heard that he was able to receive this drug, Dermot?
It's just all the emotions, you know. It's the first time we've got that wee bit of hope, you know, since he was diagnosed. I suppose we know it's not a cure or anything, but, you know, to slow down the progression of the disease is massive. Mm. You know, we've been diagnosed over nearly 6-7 years ago, and it's the first time that there's been some sort of a treatment there to help Duchenne children, and it's just been a great few days now, this last few days, to be honest.
People are advised that a condition orange high fire risk remains in place until midday on Friday. It has been issued by the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine. They say the notice is arising from continued dry weather patterns, and they add a high fire risk is deemed to exist in all areas where flammable vegetation such as dead grasses and heather and gorse exist. Full fire safety advice can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. The government is describing proposals to increase county council's power as progressive, necessary and a benefit to communities. It's planning to set up municipal councils around the country, following a recommendation from the Department of Local Government's Task Force. Housing Minister James Brown says he'll bring forward an implementation plan on the changes. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it will benefit the public.
I think it will be of benefit, obviously, to elected councillors, and will give them a greater degree of decision-making powers. A lot of work to be done there, and we're particularly interested in terms of the situation in urban areas that lost their urban councils a long time ago. I think this will be a progressive step, and I think councillors will welcome it.
Councillor Kieran Brogan, a former mayor of Letterkenny, has long been an advocate for the return of town councils. He believes they will be restored, but on the interim, municipal districts should be given more power in his view. Councillor Brogan says Minister Brown gets it when it comes to local government.
I think he gets it. I had the opportunity to feed into the local government task force around the possibility of the restoration of town councils. Haven't seen firsthand the benefit of that local government and how it worked over the years, and I'm glad now that we have got approval of Cabinet this morning to give more powers to the local council, because I think it's very, very important that we get the opportunity to first of all identify the priorities of the elected members and then shape the policy towards the needs of the people that we represent, because far too much has been centralised within the county sometimes and then centralised at government level as well.
Now, James Brown has indicated he wants to see meaningful changes in place and operational by 2029, the date of the next local elections, assuming the councils go full five-year term, which presumably they will. We would be looking maybe beyond that for things like the full restoration of town councils, but you believe that town council issue will still be on the agenda?
There's absolutely no doubt it'll be on the agenda, especially for areas with the population of Letterkenny, which is a growth centre now and identified as a regional growth centre. And we've seen the investment following that, and we've seen the growth that's happened in the area. But we've seen the ability of the town councils in the past, what they could deliver. But I think even at this level, in the short term, we need to be given more powers to each local municipal district. They all have geographical areas that are of huge benefit, and I think they could play to their strengths if they were given more power. That's something that we in Fianna Fáil have been advocating for some time.
Demand for Tusla services in Donegal is continuing to grow, according to the agency's general manager in the county. Marie Crawley told a meeting of the Donegal Local Community Safety Partnership that the number of children in care in the county has risen from 226 in December 2022 to 242 at the end of last year. On Monday of this week, she says the figure was 258. Of those, 76% are in foster care, 17% in foster care with relatives, and 6% in general residential care. Ms. Crawley told Highland Radio News that the preference is always for children to be cared for in a family setting, and it's important that more foster parents are secured.
children thrive within family situations, and they grow up with a regular family, with regular meal times. They're going in and out of school, coming home to a family, same as every other child, and they thrive in foster families. We're blessed in Donegal. We've got an incredibly experienced and committed group of foster carers throughout the county, and we see children thrive under the loving care of a family growing up with their siblings in that foster care. Our challenge at the moment is that we don't have enough of them. And we're looking for all kinds of foster carers. We're looking for foster carers who are willing to commit long term to foster care. We're also looking for foster carers who are willing to do respite, so give short term breaks to children or to families, and for emergency foster care, because sometimes we just need a short term situation for a child while we address the underlying issues and we work with the natural birth family.
You told the meeting this week that the number of children requiring care in Donegal is increasing. The number of children on the child protection register in Donegal again is increasing. That's concerning.
It is concerning, particularly the number of children in care. That's been escalating actually over the last number of years, but there's been a significant escalation over the last couple of years. That's very concerning for us because we don't have a sufficient volume of residential places in the county for those children. It's probably the biggest problem faced by Tuasla nationally. And our preference is always, always, always to keep children in the county, to keep them attending their local schools, with their peer groups, with access to their extended family, remaining in their communities. That's where they will grow and thrive. We do not want to have to locate children in residential centres outside of Donegal.
Donegal County Council has received a strong overall assessment for its environmental enforcement performance in the latest EPA report. The Environmental Protection Agency has published its review of local authorities' environmental enforcement work in 2025, assessing performance against national priorities, targeting key environmental risks and compliance issues. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
80% of areas assessed rated as either strong or excellent. The latest EPA review of local authorities' 2025 performance assessed four key areas: waste enforcement, water enforcement, air and noise enforcement, and governance processes. In Donegal, four areas were rated excellent, eight were rated strong, and three received a moderate rating. Excellent ratings were awarded for solid fuel enforcement, air quality monitoring and data use, planning for environmental inspections and compliance, and recording and reporting of inspection compliance and enforcement data. Strong ratings were given for areas including tackling illegal waste activity, construction and commercial waste, plastics and producers' responsibility initiatives, agriculture pressures, water quality issues, and local air and noise investigations. The three areas that rated moderate were household waste, agriculture pressures relating to farmland, and the Environmental Noise Directive. The EPA report marks an improvement for Donegal County Council, which was previously identified as low performing in 2024.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, home to a full range of Gaelic gloves designed for comfort, grip and performance. Shop now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15 here in Highland Radio, and it's time to go over to the sports desk and say good evening to Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Bohemians continue their European campaign this evening. They face Balkany from Kosovo at Dalymount Park for the first leg of their Conference League Round 2 qualifier. Kickoff in Dublin is at 6 o'clock. Earlier today, Athlone Town moved a step closer towards qualification for the Women's Champions League. The League of Ireland side were 4-0 winners against Skopje in the first qualifying round semi-final in Poland. Liliag's side now progressed to the final on Saturday, where they will face either Loso from Georgia or home side Sarny Sosnovets. In transfer news, Phil Foden has signed a new 4-year contract at Manchester City, committing his future to them until 2030. The 26-year-old has made 369 appearances for the club, helping them win 6 Premier League titles since his step up from the academy 9 years ago. Foden has said signing a new deal at City means everything to him. Elsewhere, Chelsea's Morgan Rodgers says he can't wait to get going at his new club after becoming the most expensive British player ever. The English international sealed his move to Stamford Bridge from Aston Villa last night for a record-breaking £117 million. Liverpool boss Andoni Iraola has hinted he'll need to bring in some defensive players during the summer transfer window. Right back Conor Bradley, who hails from County Tyrone, has been out since suffering a knee injury back in January. Iraola admits that Bradley, along with Hugo Ekitike and Giovanni Leone, remain some way off returning.
It's taken them months, no, to recover, and the closest one to return is Leone, after Louis, Connor and Hugo, but especially the last two, still they were talking about months and still a lot of time out there.
In the women's game, Burnley have announced the signing of Donegal native Tyler Toland ahead of the upcoming Women's Super League 2 season. The St Johnstone midfielder has agreed a 2-year contract, with the club holding a 1-year extension option. Toland spent last season with Durham and has been part of the Irish squad aiming to qualify for next year's FIFA Women's World Cup in Brazil. Toland says she's excited by the project at Burnley.
So far it's been exceptional. Speaking to the manager and speaking to people around the building, the club has huge ambitions, as do I, for the next couple of years. I think it's a very exciting project to be a part of, and yeah, I can't really wait to get started and get working.
Elsewhere, Newcastle United are reportedly closing in on signing Irish forward Leanne Kiernan from Liverpool. The 27-year-old signed a contract extension with the Reds in 2025 and spent the second half of last season on loan at Nottingham Forest. In darts, the quarterfinal lineup will be completed at the World Match Play in Blackpool tonight. First up, Cameron Menzies goes up against Ross Smith just after 7 o'clock. That's followed by the all-Dutch encounter of Jan van Veen and Wessel Niemann. Garen Price faces Rob Cross, while James Wade takes on Ryan Searle. Last night, Luke Littler hit a 9-darter on his way to the quarterfinals, winning 11-8 over Nathan Aspinall. In Gaelic games, Kerry face Mayo in this Sunday's All-Ireland Senior Football Final at Croke Park. The Kingdom are looking to retain their title and are heavily fancied heading into this game at the weekend. But manager Jack O'Connor says the favourites tag means nothing, just as their old foes Donegal have found out this summer.
You know, it doesn't really trouble us too much whether we're favourites or not, because at the end of when the ball's thrown in, sure, there's no one handing you out anything. You know, you have to fight for your for everything you get. So that's not a big deal with us. Sure, that's only just somebody's opinion. There's been plenty of favourites beaten this year. It's only a few weeks ago since Donegal were favourites for the All Ireland, and they were beaten a couple of times since. So that's only just somebody's opinion. It doesn't really bother us.
The 2026 Derry GAA Club Championship draws will take place this evening. Those draws start at 7:30 at the Find Insurance Owen Begg Complex. Moving on to cycling, Belgian cyclist Jasper Philipsen was the victor in Stage 17 of the Tour de France today. Riders faced a 174.7-kilometre flat route from Chambéry to Voiron. Ireland's Ben Healy has climbed to 62nd in the general classification. And finally for this evening in tennis, defending champion Carlos Alcaraz has been included in the entry list for the main draw at next month's US Open. The 23-year-old missed both the French Open and Wimbledon this year, recovering from a wrist injury. Wimbledon wildcard Arthur Ferry will feature at Flushing Meadows for the first time in his career. And Serena Williams could be one of the 16 wildcard entries for her home Grand Slam. She's been struggling with a knee injury picked up during her Wimbledon comeback. That's all from the Sports Desk for today. Your next sporting update will be during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Ryan.
Thank you very much, Mark. Donegal County Council is being asked to examine the introduction of older person and autism-friendly parking spaces across the county. The proposal comes from Buncrana-based councillor Fionnan Bradley, who says it is based on a scheme introduced by Fingal County Council. He says designated spaces closer to building entrances would make it easier for older people with mobility difficulties to access services and facilities. Councillor Bradley believes the initiative would also improve accessibility for people with autism and help promote greater inclusion in communities.
Absolutely, and it's the same principle applies. Those who have autism quite often have multi-complicated sensory needs, and they need to be able to park in locations that are very handy to the services they want to access. And the flip side of that is, if they're in a shop, if they're in at a medical appointment and they have a sensory overload and they need to leave very quickly to regulate, they need to know that their car is parked nearby and that it's very quick to exit the building and just get into the car to safety, so that they're able to regulate, that it reduces stress for the family and for those who are caring for them. And one organisation I've been working with very closely in relation to this proposal is iCare, who are very obviously at the coalface of caring for those with autism in the heart of Inishowen, and they had identified a need for this type of parking. So I was very happy to work with them and to introduce this motion today.
And I suppose that would help with getting out more and not confining people to their homes.
Yeah, it would absolutely increase independence for those with autism, because it would give them, if they're able to drive themselves, it would give the people caring for them the comfort knowing that there are parking spaces that they are most likely going to be able to access, and that they're very convenient to the services they need, should that be shops, should it be medical appointments, should it be schools, churches, or whatever other facilities that they're going and using, and that they know the parking spaces are there, that they can park in them, and that it's just convenient, and it increases their independence then, which is vitally, vitally important. important that those with autism and additional needs are independent and indeed fully integrated in our society.
Seven new social homes have been completed in Ballybuffet, with tenants expected to receive their keys in the coming weeks. The latest phase, delivered by MBC Building Contractors Limited, includes two-bedroom houses, three-bedroom houses and two-bedroom apartments. The A-rated, energy-efficient properties feature air-to-water heat pumps and triple-glazed windows and doors. Donegal County Council says the development represents a further investment in social housing in the Ballybuffet area and will help meet local housing needs. Donegal County Council is being urged to ensure that, where possible, native Irish speakers are deployed in public-facing positions in the Gaeltacht. Councillor Micheál Colin McGill-Asbug says in too many cases, people in the Gaeltacht are forced to transact business in English, while there are Irish speakers working in non-Gaeltacht areas. He's urging the Council's Human Resources Department to review the situation and make necessary changes where appropriate.
I represent the Gaeltacht. The Gaeltacht isn't just the Tecanta and the Glanty, it's right around four of the municipal districts. And what I'm saying very clearly is that we need to be very clear about where we employ our staff, having Gaelic-speaking staff in English-speaking communities when they could be employed within Gaelic-speaking communities. And that would then not force community when engaging on roads issues what the council that they're forced to speak English, when it's very clear that for us who are passionate about the language, surviving is about making sure that we as a council have the staff in place. Look, it's not today or yesterday I raised this. We've been raising this for a long time. And the commitment to the council within the Irish Language Committee, and I include everybody from staff to all members, there's been a massive dramatic change, but there's still that maybe percentage or section within the council who mightn't see how important it is. And I don't want to be too hard on anybody, but, you know, after a while, after a number of years of raising this, when this HR could do something about it, and they're not.
And the weather dry with sunshine this evening and a bit more cloud in the south. Dry tonight with clear spells, lowest temperatures of 9 to 14 degrees and light northerly or variable breezes. Mostly cloudy to begin tomorrow. Sunny spells will gradually develop through the afternoon and evening. Highest temperatures of 16 to 20 degrees, coolest in the north and northwest in light to moderate northerly breezes. A look back at today's main stories. It's emerged that the N56 four-lane project cost a total of €16 million, 47% more than the pre-construction scheme budget of just under €11 million. The figures have been given to Councillor Kieran Brogan in response to a question posed to Donegal County Council. Engineers have confirmed that Transport Infrastructure Ireland have funded the scheme in its entirety. Water usage in Donegal will be restricted by the weekend, with a nationwide hosepipe ban being implemented from Friday. Ishkeran is extending a water conservation order nationwide because of continued pressure on supplies caused by the ongoing dry spell. The ban on using hoses to water gardens, wash cars or fill paddling pools lasts until August 26 at least. The Finance Minister says there won't be a separate cost of living package in this year's budget. Simon Harris says they're moving away from the structure of previous budgets and instead the cost of living will be addressed through measures like tax cuts. The government's summer economic statement shows it has €1.5 billion available for tax measures next year. And a young Donegal boy living with Duchenne muscular dystrophy has been approved for a treatment that could slow the progression of the condition. Aaron Langan from Lahey and his family has been at the centre of a campaign to have the drug Chavinostat approved for people living with a rare genetic disorder, which causes muscle to weaken over time. The orphan drug was recommended for approval by an Aractus committee on June the 11th, but it remained unclear whether Aaron would be able to access it. And that's all for the newsroom for now. We'll be back with news again at 7 o'clock.
The notices for this Wednesday evening, the 22nd of July. The death has occurred of Catherine Katie McCarran, née Boyle, Croagh Ross, Port Salon, Fanad. Katie's remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening, with Rosary nightly at 9. Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Fanavalti, on Friday morning at 11, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Odyssey Donal Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The Requiem Mass will be recorded and available to view on the McAteer Funeral Director's Facebook page on Friday afternoon. The death has occurred of Mary Bridget McAuliffe, née Sweeney, Kill, Dunfanaghy. Mary is reposing in her family home in Kildunfanaghy this evening and again from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with Rosary nightly at 9. House private, please, after the Rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Friday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St. Vincent de Paul, Dunfanaghy, Creasla, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has occurred of Mary Brown, Hollymount, Carndonagh, reposing at her home. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 20 past 1, going to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Letterkenny University Hospital Oncology Ward, care of Blaine McCarran, Kelly's funeral directors. And the death has taken place of Noreen Sweeney, née O'Donnell, Castle Street, Remelton, reposing at her home until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 o'clock. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.